Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Tuesday edition. Today's date is the 23rd day of June, 2009. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Great to have you all here with me for this most important broadcast. You know, the conversations we've had on this programming over the last 3-4 years have brought us to this place we are today where things that were unthinkable 2 years ago, even a year ago, are now commonplace in our news headlines, shocking that it is. And one of the things I've discussed with both of my guests repeatedly is the fact that the level of outrage or outrageous activities that I keep seeing happen so frequently now that people allow these terrible events to go down the memory hole within days of them happening because it's always replaced by a new horror. I mentioned to my guest Mohammed Rafiq just yesterday, very few people are still talking about the horrors that befell the Gazans back at Christmas time. And now that's not that long ago, guys. We're talking, you know, 6 months ago. Having 1,500 people murdered by the Israeli defense force, or what I say, offensive force, should be on everyone's lips for until the solution for the criminals that did it was found, but yet almost no one's talking about it. Why? Because there's always a new horror to be unleashed upon us, and I'm wondering what the next ones will be. Some people are starting to discuss bank holidays. Other people are talking about all kinds of horrible events that are going to befall us, such as this bird flu and swine flu now or whatever. But we're going to bring up another great guest of mine and a collaborator from TIU, which is the Information Underground. Noel, are you with me?
I am, Darrell. Nice to be back on.
Well, it is great to have you here. And, you know, the last time we did a three-way with Mohammed, are you with me?
I'm here too, gentlemen.
Well, very glad to have both you gentlemen with you. The last show we did together was very, I thought was very well done. As usual, when you bring three well-educated, like-minded people together, we can go all kinds of places that bring value to the work we're talking about. So I want to go to you first, Mohammed. You know, the number of horrific events that have been unleashed over the last few years is making it very difficult for people to focus in on any one of them. And I've often wondered if that's not part of the plan.
Well, that's a very good analysis, though. I would certainly say that the number of events which are occurring have accelerated enormously, and they obviously have a program, and I would say that program is about trying to manage the content and content flow and where the hits are on the internet. The internet's become a very important battlefield in this war, and so important that they have to generate headlines and try and put spin on them. And I think that's part of it. So, yes, we are witnessing more events than ever, partially because they're easier to document because of the internet, but also they have a need to keep this information coming over the internet in their own spun style, like the Alex Jones format, or you know, or the Reds format, where you know it's really Bigfoot in a spaceship or something.
Well, interesting, Mohammed. When we talk about that, and they had a great success, and I'm going to give Noel an opportunity maybe to bring us on to this one here with the Twitter phenomenon in Iran, using exterior attacks on their own information technology in Iran to bring the people out onto the streets, and it seems like it succeeded at some level. Noel, what's your take on it?
Well, I mean, Darrell, it's not my take on it at all. All you have to do is go to another Zionist-controlled website, a very small one called YouTube, and if you go to it, which one of the guys spotted in the forums today, right directly on the top, the very, very first link is for tweets got to do with what's going on in Iran. On YouTube, on the very top of the page, it was posted, and we have a screenshot of it. This, and you know, several, I've been talking to several people, And what they've noticed is a lot of people are going on the, you know, these fake news channels like BBC and Fox News and CNN. They all seem to speak you know, pretty good English, and they all seem to have smartphones. Now, I have to ask myself, is this kind of CIA money, CIA Mossad money, apparently this $400 million apparently, paying for smartphones, so all these guys are able to tweet and do whatever they're doing? But I mean, that was on the bottom of YouTube. I'll just have a quick look down to see if it's still on the top, very top of the site. If it isn't, we do have a screenshot of it. Okay, it's now been removed from it, but we do have it from this morning. Tweet the latest directly from YouTube about what's going on in Iran. I think this is a bit late. A lot of people have seen through it. I don't think Ahmadinejad is probably the best leader for the Iranian people. You know, it's a big country. I'm not so sure it's a population of 100 million, 110 million. It's a big country. You know, you're never going to get all the people to agree. But to have another CIA kind of puppet, you know, in the wings ready to step in, is becoming very obvious. History repeating itself again, Darren. You know, it's only barely over 50 years since the last big coup in Iran. We discussed in the last show, I think these people are working with the Zionists, no doubt about that. They know which side of their bread their bread is buttered, and they're also aware that Israel has lots of nuclear weapons, and so have the Americans. And one wrong, you know, one false move on their part, they could be annihilated. But I'm not even buying into all that. I don't see them. Israel for the moment nuking Iran, but it's possible, and it goes into what the 1500 that were murdered in Holocaust in Palestine. Now, over the last 6 months, there, I've mentioned them nearly in every show. People, you're very correct in saying that people have a very, very short memory span, but this is due to programming, magazines, newspapers, Zionist television, you know, bringing on all these competitions on TV. I don't know all the names of them, but the amateurs, the apprentice, Britain's Got Talent, Ireland's Got Talent, France has got talent, and they're sending young kids off to islands and whatever. The people are distracted, but they need to. What we need is a lot of the younger and older people to actually get over just that piece of programming and look into a little bit into Zionism and get on the track to where we have been for many years.
Well, you're right about that, and you know, one of the things that Mohammed and I did discuss lately, I think it was actually yesterday, was how much competence I've discovered the intelligence services have acquired when it comes to this Twitter assault. They're showing some level of competence here, which is a tad bit unnerving, because it's one of the few times I've seen them be successful on the net at any level, and it is contingent upon our efforts, Mohammed, to expose the fact that this was all orchestrated from outside. But I don't know that they didn't get a lot of help from the Iranian government, as David Pidcock has pointed out. The Iranian government is guilty of using all kinds of policies that are un-Islamic, such as using interest in loans and so forth. In other words, they call it the Islamic Republic, but it's anything but that. So it's very strange to see the success rate without having the direct ties into government higher ups to make this kind of activity happen. We're talking tens and tens of thousands of people on the streets. This looks orchestrated to me, and the connection to the Mehdi Army by this group, and the Mehdi Army standing down to benefit America, and all these roadside bombs being propagated by the Mossad, and having tracks back to the Mehdi Army working with the Mossad and CIA. So my point is this: are we seeing an orchestrated exterior attack on Iran, or are we seeing some collusion between the two groups from within and from without to make this thing really look like a mini revolution?
Well, that's the most important question, and the answer to that, Dale, we've got to take, because we're so deeply involved with the internet and internet technologies, we have to stand back and look at how these intelligence services are trying to control it. They have failed enormously in their attempts to control your message and the message of the French Connection, despite desperate efforts and a very large budget, clearly, people out there criticising the work, criticising you, criticising motivations, criticising your guests, etc. So that's an old-fashioned thing of trying to sling mud and hope that if you sling enough of it, it sticks. Well, it didn't. Then there were all the usual potholes, so like the anti-Semitism slur, etc., all of which you've managed to steer clear of. So to a large degree, we've avoided that. But they have a large budget, and they, as a result, are able to keep looking and seeing how this thing works. One of the things that they've never done before, but they've done for the first time here, and I challenge everybody to look at this, is that what they did is, and still are doing to some degree, is manage the perception of what is happening in Iran on the net. And that is what is key. Somebody who, on the psychology side, has sat down and said, we have to manage how this is being perceived on the net as much as what's actually really happening on the ground. And so it's been about making their version of events appear at the top of all these sources like the YouTube or all the other places where people go for hits on the information, where we normally would use that as our outlet, if you like, and the speed at which we get the information around. They have for the first time managed a full-on psyop of information perception coming over the internet, and it must have cost them a lot of money. There must have been a huge number of people involved, and the number of people involved in Iran is difficult to say, because that's what's been controlled and managed by them on this instance.
Isn't it interesting, Mohammed, before you go anywhere, if Iran didn't want this stuff coming from the outside in, they could have pulled the plug on the connection to it by disrupting server traffic into the country, and obviously they did not. And you know, one of the interesting things is that Iran is on a single trunk, or a dual trunk into their country. Since these underground cables were severed, they're working on very limited access to Iran, and so those trunk lines could have been curtailed if they wanted. And the fact of the matter is that all of this exterior Twitter activity into Iran could have been curtailed by their government. And the fact that it wasn't makes me very suspicious of how this was organized from within the country, as opposed to what I'm seeing reported. In other words, they're saying that Iranian government is the opposition in this battle, but I'm seeing collusion here, at least on the ground, with the technology use.
Well, what we have, if for people who study firewalls and the type of attacks that we would attempt to secure our servers from under different types of attacks by hackers, one of them is called a flood attack, Daryl, and that's where you actually hit the server from what appears to be hundreds, if not thousands, of different IP addresses from all around the universe. So the problem that the Iranian government had was being able to block all these places. They had the equivalent under this Twitter arrangement of an IP flood attack, in that there were just so, this stuff was coming from so many different places. Add on to that, people can hide their attacks from, or their connections behind proxy servers, so that it even becomes invisible where the actual source is. The whole thing was completely unmanageable. So in theory, the Iranian government could switch it off. But this time, the US intelligence and the British intelligence services played the technology card. And that's part of how they've managed this, Daryl. They played the technology card and did very sophisticated IT hacker attacks, which inflamed the Iranian government. They were blaming British intelligence services, saying, we can't stop this information from getting in. We're trying to block it. But all of a sudden, thousands and thousands of holes have just appeared all over the place, and they couldn't plug them quick enough, basically.
Well, Noel, I'm going to go back to you on this. I mean, some of the information that's coming out, it clearly seems to me, if I was the Iranian mullahs and I really didn't want this stuff to be propagated on the streets, I would sever the link to the outside at least temporarily and say there's not going to be any Twitter contact until we sort out the street rioting that they're getting their orders from.
I believe that they did shut it down at one stage there for a few hours and then it came back up. I mean, it's very easy for the Iranians to block the IPs to Twitter servers. I mean, the intelligence agencies must know what they are. I find more interesting there was leading up to the elections, and we've been aware of it for several months that these elections were coming. It seems like Ahmadinejad was going to absolutely walk away with it, and then within the last couple of weeks, he had three others joined the race with to go against him, and then it got kind of ooh, he mightn't win and all of this. But I think from the start it was clear he was going to win, whether by cheating or by being actually the most popular of the four. What I thought was interesting was how the Jewish media, the Zionist controlled media, were pushing that your best way of finding out about Iran is to go and join Twitters and find out there, and yet then that all their sock puppets and different people over there, you know, creating accounts and, you know, opening 50 new accounts and whatever. And what, you know, brings us back into the very first thing we were saying. This is exactly what the intelligence agencies want. They don't want loose affiliations around on the internet. They want to get all the people signed up into the millions of users on YouTube or millions of users on Twitters, that they can gather up a lot of information a lot quicker because they're plugged directly into their black boxes, into their servers. They analyze traffic with DPI, deep penetration, in real time what's going on. And I'm sure that they have several Twitter servers because, you know, this isn't just one machine. This is hundreds of servers that are interlinked, that some of them are based in Herzliya. There's some in Virginia, and I'm sure that if you look into the funding of Twitters, you'll see the Zionist connection, who owns them, where the funding came from, who's keeping it going. We don't know the half of it about Twitters, and they seem to be pushing MySpace to the side. They said Murdoch is going to get rid of 20% of his staff, and they've really pushed Twitters up. I'm not even a member of Twitters. I don't like it. It's a
neither am I. No.
Yeah. I've been there, Darryl. Go look at different things. Even one of our friends, Daryl, is running the Twitter campaign for Cynthia McKinney now at the moment. That I can tell you, won't mention any names, but with a friend of ours, we know him. He's running Twitters for Cynthia McKinney. So it seems to be like, 2 years ago we didn't have it, and all of a sudden in 2008, 2009, we're not human anymore, that if we don't go onto Twitters and join this big social network, that there's something wrong with us. Now, I avoid these places like crazy. I wouldn't go near the place, wouldn't sign up for it, and I didn't buy into all the propaganda. I was expecting it to go like that. Maybe some rioting. We got the rioting. You know, 10 dead, 20 dead. Yeah, you know, you're reading the different BBC, CNN, Fox, and all the ABC and all the different news sites. And it was interesting the treatment of the BBC. Now, at first, what I've noticed about BBC was flagrant disinformation many years ago. Now, I grew up with kind of trusting BBC, not knowing any better. Now, it was obvious for anybody, which brings us into the very first thing you said, mentioned tonight, Daryl, is the slaughter of the Palestinians, the 1,500 martyrs, all the kids and women and grannies and stuff. That the BBC's coverage of that, I change radio because I was, you know, I'm up early, 6 o'clock. I usually get the BBC Swiss news, and their coverage of the slaughter at Christmas time was so outrageous. I changed to a kind of a Christian Englishy channel just not to support the BBC. I will not support them. And when the Ayatollah spoke last week at the university, he was highly critical of the BBC and the British and Mossad and whatever, but he was specifically attacked the BBC. So I did catch one or two little pieces of BBC News. Now they did not say that they specifically claimed that BBC were reporting false stories. BBC said we are having difficulties reporting from Iran. Now Darrell, I heard this three times during the week. I only heard a couple of minutes that are, you know, you can get news on the hour, maybe 5 minutes. Is that or Deutsche Welle News or sometimes VOA News? So I did catch it, and three times they said we are having difficulties getting recordings and reporting from Iran, and they completely didn't mention that they were specifically named as one of the co-conspirators.
Well, here's the interesting thing about using this technology. It has made this information go viral, go global, and we've done the best we can using the simplest format that we could come up with, because simplicity seems to be the best key here. However, and I'm going to go to Muhammad on this, the technology that we're using now doesn't seem to be growing us as we should be, because we've got people now chiming in with our message, which I'm going to tell you may not hurt us in the long run, or it may, I don't know, but I'm going to get your take on it. It seems as though finally, after 15 years, Alex Jones has decided that it is the Zionists, after all, and that now you're to trust him with his new message that Zionism is behind it. But, at the same time, I hear parallel stories being told on Rents with Mr. David Icke speaking about my reptilian brain being controlling my thoughts, and it's my visceral brain and my primordial brain, and if I heard the word brain again, I'm going to just brain. It's so much, and this guy goes on and on and on, and then of course while you're listening to Mr. Rents, you're looking at his site, looking at Moon Wars, and this is the latest one he has, that we were having Moon Wars, and what else do they have there? So there's life on Mars, and all of us are Martians, and that's where we came from, and all this other stuff. No, UFOs, crop circles, you name it. So, but the point is, Zionism is on the lips of Mr. Jones now. Interesting. I don't know if that's going to help or hurt them. They've made calculated mistakes in the past trying to get on board with our message, trying to usurp us, and what ended up happening is they just spread the messages. It's kind of like thinking that you can stop a gasoline fire by kicking the can over. it might burn out more quickly, but at least in the first instance here, we're going to get a spread. So I'm wondering what your take, Muhammad, is on the fact that Mr. Jones is now ponying up to the Zionist card here.
Well, as we've explained to the listeners before now on several occasions, when they see this kind of an event occurring where these guys are adopting more elements of the real message, what it does mean is that real message, because they've got all the statistics on who knows what and where this stuff's going, what they're seeing is this information flow that we have been, I would say, almost dogmatic about. We have not moved away from the message. People can go back and play these audios for the last 3.5 years. They'll find it a completely consistent, or 4 years now, sorry, a completely consistent message. And I think that's one of the things here. And the people on the Alex Jones show, if you did the same thing over the last 4 years, Darrell, you'll see these incremental changes where they've adopted elements of the truth in order not to lose credibility in the face of their own audience. We're now at the stage where this stuff has spread so far and so deeply. A listener to the French Connection 4 years ago was a very, very learned individual in terms of these matters, and was a very rare item in the world. And the way in which this information is shared means that, more and more people have got on board with the facts, more and more people have got on board with the truth, and now what's happening is that those people who've got on board, they're looking further and further, and Jones, Rents, and all the other information management shills out there, their job is to make sure they don't lose audience share, because if they don't, lose audience share, then they are controlling the message to some degree. And in that sense, you're a bit of an experiment now to them. They're watching to see whether you manage to grow that share. And now it's reached the incredible stage where, for the first time, you know, it's not the Bilderbergers, it's not the New World Order, although that's still being mixed in for good measure just to keep some confusion on there. But it's actually, for the first time ever, the Zionists. You know, now, when we look historically, anybody who looks at the stuff on the French Connection will see that, you know, the Bilderberger Group, the Trilateral Commission, the New World Order didn't exist in their current forms at the time of the Armenian Massacre or the Russian Revolution. So it's just an but the Zionists did. So it's absolute rubbish to try and put the blame for this conduct on anybody except that particular group who've been behind it all. Now we ask ourselves, where is this going? Well, like you say, Dal, they've got to kick over this jerry can to hope that it burns out quicker. But what's actually happening is, you know, the tin, we've got wood out there as dry as a tinder, and everything's going up with it. It is very much a case of, you know, they're not getting much room now left to spin. As more and more truth comes into their own message, you know, the less room there is for the rubbish. People will be looking and comparing and saying, well, hold on a minute, Daryl Bradford Smith has been saying it's the Zionist for years who's been behind these things, and we've been looking in all these different areas. And for anybody in those audience who is a thinking man, and that might be a problem, or a woman for that matter, or hermaphrodite, whatever, it may be a thinking individual, as long as they're thinking, they'll realise, we've ended up here anyway. Why didn't we just go over there in the first place? So that they are on very thin ice. I don't see much of a future before there is a major shift. There is a major shift around the corner, I believe, Donald.
Well, you, one of the interesting things, and I mentioned this to both you guys, that our numbers are stable, and we're in, you know, we're between the 7,000 and 10,000 mark daily on our visits, and you know, one of the things that they do to confuse you on your statistics is give you visitor numbers and unique visitor numbers and hit numbers and bandwidth numbers and all this other stuff. It's very difficult to see your real penetration, because a lot of times, and I'm going to go to Noel on this, we've got the podcast going out there, we've got BitTorrent going out there, we've got all kinds of different ways of getting this message out that I don't see counter numbers for. However, what I have seen in parallel to my message growing is that they've been attempting to restrict the number of outlets that I have to grow the message. In other words, you know, public libraries are banning me around the Western world. Now, that doesn't mean universities are banning me, because some universities still believe in the idea that all information should be accessible and then let the student decide whether it's good or bad. And so a lot of universities still allow access to I Am the Witness. But a lot of public libraries, especially in places like Australia and Canada and New Zealand, and even here in France in some locations, and of course Germany and elsewhere, are banning me. So as my outlets are shrinking, my numbers are staying stable or growing, but not growing quickly enough. Because what I'm seeing, gentlemen, is an end game starting to form here. They can't keep the eggs in the air. They've already fallen. I said we went over the cliff in February. We have. Basically, right now, it's a controlled implosion, if you can allow that. I'm seeing terrible events on our horizon here. We're seeing bankrupt cities and towns, and now New York. California itself is starting to claim bankruptcy, although I found some information that they've got a slush fund of $59 billion sitting around. So, but that's not the point. The point I'm saying is that it seems to me that there is an implosion just on our horizon, and I want to know, in your view, how we can leverage this message into a larger number and get it into the 20, 30, 40,000 number. I mean, now that my outlet at CII has been cut because of their lack of being...
support.
They've been disingenuous with me. But go ahead. I'll let you take it, Mom. No, go ahead.
I mean, as far as CII, you still have to put bread on your table. They got the mullahs in South Africa with money behind them. A small donation to pay your telephone bills, I think, is a minimum. Considering your they bring you on as a journalist, I think you should have your journalist card just in case Sarkozy sends his boys in blue and knock to knock in your doors and shoot your dogs. But getting back to this message of Jones, his little video, it's very suspicious again. The more I said to you, Darren, when I seen the video, it looked very very fake, very big setup. He looked he's all made up and makeup on, and he looked really weird. So he mentioned Zionism, and he's sick of these people and sick of the ADL, which doesn't really bring us anything. And then he goes back the next day and he's talking about German death cults, but his fans are out there, these knuckleheads, and they're saying, yeah, he does, Alex talks about Zionism, look, he mentioned he can get him on YouTube. So it's another way. And then you have Rivero pushing this nonsense. You have Rivero also posted one which I was very annoyed about, which is this Goyim Defense Force. He was saying that this Jewish Internet Defense Force that are hacking sites. Well, that wasn't quite right. The Jewish Internet Defense Force are more a bunch of losers that go around YouTube getting people banned, and then they write up, well, we got this guy banned, and you can't verify whether it was their complaint, because it's very easy to get someone banned from YouTube, put up a copyright or a complaint or some sort of complaint about a video on the user and get kicked off, which happened to AJ. I have to say, AJ's channel, he had a I think 50,000 or 150,000 members. YouTube killed the channel. So maybe there is something going on with the ADL and the Zionists and the Jewish leaders in the States, and they're trying to quash his message. All I would say is, if AJ has come to the realization that it's the Zionists, then he has to cut out the bullcrap of German dead cults, the New World Order, the CFR, the Bilderberg, whatever it is. If he really has understood Zionism, he has to join us. I mean, Darryl, he has a million plus listeners. He's the biggest on Shoutcast, and he's got tremendous numbers, but these numbers can all be faked as well. Don't put too much faith in them. I'm not relying on numbers to put bread on my table. Jones, it's up to him. Darryl, you put out the message, and yourself and Muhammad have been putting out this message, as Muhammad said, improving the message over the last 4 years, adding extra finer points in the story, but the story is being told. Zionists were there. Muhammad just added in, this is another typical example of having a great guest like Muhammad on your show. He just adds in, just clarifying it for all these knuckleheads out there, that during the Armenian massacre, during the 17 revolution, the Bolshevik Jewish revolution, there was none of these groups except Zionism. There's, you won't hear these little buttes of information on all of these other shows. I mean, there are other people out there fighting tooth and nail like ourselves. We need to find out who these people are and network with them and build up our numbers. And we're missing a wake up from your slumber. We're doing very well over there with the numbers up very high, and it was attracting a lot of attention. A pity that site got buried.
I worry that there was some sort of collusion in the background of that place. The person running that doesn't, she has never come back to the true message. She's now doing a blog spot where the message is Alex Jones' message and not ours. So this person knew clearly, GS Wave there, and she knew clearly that the Zionist message was the correct one. And in fact, now she's going back to the New World Order message, and she sounds suspicious to me. She never came out of the shadows. And it looked like that might have been a psyop that went south for them, and they finally pulled the plug on it. Because, whenever there was an opportunity to bash me, they took a liberal use of that on Wake Up From Your Slumber. And if it weren't for the people who supported me...
That's the thing, Darryl, about an open blog like that, people can team up on you or team up with you. I have it on a good source, a very good source, that they got kicked off, which was, we can blame the Zionists and the Jews for everything, but from my very good source with an administrator over there, an administrator of my forum, Sullivan. They were using a software called Drupal or Drupal or something like that, and it's not a very good database management system. And it crashed the server that they were running on. It crashed it 3 times. And with Bluehost, the company that were hosting it, if you knock down the server 3 times for one site, now remember, on one internet server, you might have 200 websites or blogs or, you know, whatever it is. And if one of the sites knocks the whole server down for the other 200, they have 3 goals. The third time you're out. Now, I do believe personally that is what happened, because I've been there when they were having database errors. However, I haven't really looked at the new blog. I seen Greg Bacon was posting over there, but I don't have it bookmarked, so I wouldn't. It's a pity that QVIF didn't come back big time. We were definitely on the way to being one of the biggest sites out there. But you know, true as well. There's a lot of bashing going on, but they were bashing people like you, Daryl, and not bashing people like me or all the other users, because you were actually putting out the information. We were then, you know, studying your information, and then we're all, we like to say, okay, well, you know, Darren's onto something there, which would have been my case. Check into it further, double check the sources, and then you would have had a bunch of people over there that no matter what you said, Daryl, the black was black. They said, no, he's lying. There's something odd about him. There are people on the internet in all these forums. They're knuckleheads and lunatics, like that guy over in Canada that was always after you, the hots for you in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, unless you met this person in real life, he's probably just as screwed up, Daryl. And they give him a keyboard and he becomes a commando and he thinks he's free rein to say what he likes. And that comes into, you know, what the administrators will tolerate and what they won't tolerate, and that's, you know, very individual on a per site basis.
Well, we've been working here flat out for years, you know, and I have to tell you, gentlemen, and Mohammed, I'm going to go to you on this. I get it's tiring, especially at the level that I've kept this at. I mean, you both can attest to the fact that I'm always here. I mean, I'm always putting up a new something or other, and I don't step back any length of time. Don't take vacations from it, because I know the urgency. You know, look, every day that we can thwart their final destructive tendencies is a day that we stop suffering. You see, there's real suffering, Muhammad, that's associated with the decisions of this criminal gang. And if we stop them for a single day in the final analysis, it's going to be tens of thousands, if not millions, of people that are less affected or less damaged by them. So I see that in the work I do as a responsibility, and it's tiring. But Noel said it clearly, Mohammed. We've told the story. Now it's the details. We know they did 7/7. We know they did 9/11. We know they did Levant Affair and Liberty, and we can go on and on. We know they've murdered our presidents and shot Lincoln and killed Kennedy, and we know they've overturned governments and started wars and murdered the Russians, and we know all this. We know, we've documented it. We know they're behind Bilderberg. We know they're behind Oriental Freemasonry. We know the Illuminati started with their funding. We know the Calvinists were started. Mr. Cohen, as Ken Parmitson pointed out. The fact of the matter is, we know the game. We've told the story. How now do we package that with a ribbon or a bow and make it go viral into the mainstream? You see, this is where we are, because, frankly, is my gas tank full all the time? No. It's almost like I'm... There were moments in the past years where I felt more energetic than I do now. Why? Because, you know, facing these elements in anew gives you the kind of robustness that you need to be bringing this message farther afield. I try to keep that robustness available to me, but it's very hard work. I got to say to everybody, you know, this is years now, and I never had any plans of going this far with this. Who would have known, Mohammed?
Well, sadly, not many. I did, having gone very, very long distance with it. Motivating yourself to keep on going is very, very difficult indeed. And a lot of people don't realise that. You know, when we're going up against the likes of Rents and the likes of Alex Jones and others, you know, there isn't a salary here, there isn't a budget here, there isn't a very large team sat in the background that we get to go out and on these big budgets and meet at different places around the world and have barbecues together and support each other. It is tough, and we try to be there for each other, to support each other in this as best we can. It is, for me, embarrassing as a Muslim that you've had that experience with CII. I'm sorry to have to say, Dal, that it is an experience that I've had on more than one occasions with the Muslim community, and that's speaking as a Muslim, and it is always a source of embarrassment, especially when, you know, people looking on from the sidelines. We see the Sheikh of Saudi Arabia with $2 trillion in cash in bank accounts, and Obama practically prostrating before him, trying to grab some of it, along with the Sheikh of Abu Dhabi, and incredibly wealthy people in these parts of the world. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of billionaires by US dollar standards, and they don't seem to be able to put any money up for righteous causes. And this is a very, very sad state of affairs. So that's one side of it. If they turn some of that money to good, then, you know, the world would be a different place. And they share an equal amount of blame for their lack of support and their lack of goodwill and their lack of desire, I suppose, to be righteous in the world and to do things which are right and proper. When it comes to who else has suffered, I was looking at a photograph on the internet the other day that many people have put up. The chap won some kind of photographer journalist award. It was a famous picture taken in the south of Sudan of a small Sudanese boy that was dead or dying in the dust, and stood next to him was a buzzard waiting for the death process.
I remember that. That was one of the most horrific photographs I've ever seen. Yes, I remember it.
Very grim. Well, of course, the state of affairs there all go back. Well, you know, and we grit our teeth and pull out our hair and say, why, how did this happen? Why is this happening in a world of plenty? Well, this is happening because of this criminal gang. Yep. If that country is in poverty, if that country has corrupt leadership, it's because this gang put them there. Yep. And the reason that we keep coming back to this message and keep fighting this fight is because we don't want scenes like that on this planet anymore. We don't want to have to go to bed at night knowing that people in parts of the world actually have pain at night before they go to sleep because of hunger, or are suffering disease because they don't have access to clean water. All of this is a status quo which fits with the mentality of people who can bring about the slave trade. Armenian massacres, Bolshevik massacres, the type of evil that we saw in the last incursion.
The Ukrainian massacre.
Exactly. One after the other, after the other, and all. And what we have is a mentality there that can sit there and watch the buzzard and say, well, you know, at least the buzzard's getting a meal today. There is a sick, twisted mentality there that believes the buzzard and the boy are equal in status, and that one is not given the dignity of being a human being. And the fact of the matter is, Dal, that because you are a decent human being, and you too, Noel, and because myself, I believe in the fact that human beings are human beings, we will keep coming back, and we will keep fighting for these people who don't have a voice in the world. We will try to be their voice, but really, it is time with people with the means and people out there in the intelligence services. They should see this latest documentary that you pointed out now, that's been on ITV. They murdered the people behind, their own people behind the filming that was made with Kubrick on the fake lunar landing shows. All the people who worked for them were murdered. You can be pretty sure that the 7-7 operatives are dead. The 9/11 operatives are dead. Anybody who knows anything is slowly but surely being killed off by this group. Once you've done their bidding, you know too much, you have to go. It's time for the intelligence services to break ranks. They've got suitcases full of cash for all sorts of emergencies all around the world. It's about time they got fully on board too. We're looking to them and for all people out there to actually start standing up now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Mohammed,
one of the things, I'm going to go back to you in a moment, though, but one of the things that I brought up to both of you guys is that I'm getting massive hits from a Defense Intelligence, CIA, NSA stronghold in Virginia. And this is a little town, a small town, no bigger than the town in Massachusetts I come from, which I get 11 or 12 hits per week out of my hometown. I get 2,000 and 3,000 hits from this small little community called Herndon, Virginia. But I'm also getting big hits out of the intelligence area of Herzliya. Big hits out of Paris, big hits out of all the different intelligence communities around the world. My point is this: they are hearing the message. Many of these people didn't know in the first instance what the full story was because, frankly, no one tells you that you're actually going to work for criminal Zionism when you sign up for a CIA post. But the simple fact of the matter is where are these people, and do they really care? I'm going to go to Noel on this, because do they really care? They've got Blackwater. They've got DynCorp. They've got Shin Bet. They've got other organizations that they don't need CIA as much as they used to. They don't need NSA, because they've got hit squads of mercenaries and criminals that'll go out and put out hot spots for them.
Absolutely.
You know, these murder squads that go out and get rid of these people, I mean, these are just monsters. They just do anything on a dime. You know, you give me the money and you give me the address and it's toast. I'm wondering where we are, Noel, in your view. You know, you watch the hits. You've seen the statistics because I've talked to you about them. What are we doing here?
Well, you know, it's possible in these small towns that there are data centers where, you know, it's a massive computer infrastructure, which is very possible. It's very suspicious. I mean, you showed me the statistics. I've seen them. It's very suspicious. I mean, I really don't know what to what to make of them, unless we have some people on the ground. I mean, you seem to be getting thousands of hits every month from these little towns, and what, you haven't received an email from someone either, bitching at you or saying great work or whatever. It's suspicious when you do get these all these hits, and they're in your statistics. You know, but the overall thing, just I want to get actually back to AJ before I get it. He seems to have an army, Darrell, which is one thing that we're missing. We need some good, if we could get some good video makers to come out and make a couple of decent videos. Pick a couple of topics that you've talked with some of your great guests over the years, and make that into some sort of a coherent video that these knuckleheads will actually tune into on YouTube and Google Video and Daily Motion, and, you know, even if it's a 10, 15, 20 minute, or make one decent documentary. Jones seems to have no problem. Now, I'd just like to remind a few people that will listen either, directly from I Am The Witness or come from my firm's The Info Underground, that are AJ, closet AJ fans, and they're kind of coming over and kind of listening because we're bitching about AJ and we're saying AJ isn't talking about this. And I've been saying it for 2 or 3 years, you've been saying it for years before me, Darrell, that he doesn't mention Zionism, he never does, and here we are in June 2009. Now, Jones is working on a new documentary, just done the Obama deception, where Israel was mentioned once, but the New World Order was mentioned 100 times, and the Bilderbergers were mentioned 37 times. They're making the numbers up, but there was something silly. No mention of Mossad. And, he's talking about 9/11 and no mention of Mossad. Red flags should go. But I think one of the things that we should take into consideration, the newer listeners to the French Connection, is go and check into a guy called Bill Cooper, who was murdered in 2001. Now, Cooper went off as a radio host in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Made some good. I've listened to a lot of his audio. He's very good. He was off at the moon bases, and he got fed this information, and it took him a while to catch on to it that there were no moon bases, and he'd been fed this information. But in very early 2000, Darrell, he came out, and he was peed off, Daryl, and I'm saying it very, very diplomatically, because he was so irate that he got on one night he was so outraged by a young proposed radio host who was coming from nowhere, from Texas, was able to get on local FM stations in Texas on the 31st of December 1999, a certain individual called Alex Jones. And Jones did a spoof that the war of the worlds had started, that the Chinese and the Russians were nuking America, and nuclear plants were being hit, and you know, there was no water. And this guy went on live for hours, Daryl. I'm talking about live, Daryl, for hours, and he never said once jokingly, because I've heard the audio. I listened to the audio several hours long. They put him on all day saying the end of the world was there, the wars were everywhere, and towns were being nuked and whatever. And he was reading faxes on the air. So, oh, I just heard that Millenden has been blown to smithereens, and there's Russians have landed, and Chinese troops have landed on the ground somewhere, and, you know, on the East Coast and whatever. And he reported this for hours and hours and hours on live radio, on shortwave, on FM, and on the internet, and on New Year's Eve 1999, and it was all baloney, and he got away with it, and people still listen to this clown. Now, where's all this money? Now, this guy was able to get on. I think his Jewish handler said, okay, we're going to have fun today, we're going to do the end of the world. Now, this, Daryl, isn't bullcrap, and you know it isn't, because you've checked into it, and Muhammad, I'm sure, is well aware of it as well. Jones went on the radio on the 31st of December 1999 and gave the War of the Worlds live for hours. Bill Cooper came on and slapped his wrist about it. Now, Jones then came on, did a show about Bill Cooper, and he said, well, I wouldn't have him on again because he was cussing and using bad language or whatever. Now, I've also heard that audio, and Bill Cooper was far, far from that. Now, Cooper, you know, went on and on, and he said to people in 2000, before they murdered him, just after 9/11, you know, besides Cooper calling 9/11 a couple of months before, AJ apparently is the super daddy of calling 9/11. Shows him again to be a liar. It's documented. We've documented proof that Bill Cooper said it 2 months before AJ in July of 2001. He mentioned Bin Laden. He mentioned Twin Towers. He gave us everything but the serial numbers of these, Flight 11 and 77, and they didn't actually fly or hadn't flown since 2000. So, Bush caught again with his more lies and whatever. Bill Cooper, Daryl, for all some of the crazy stuff that he did, I found him to be fairly knowledgeable. I definitely learnt a lot from him. And he called Jones out in 2000. Here we are in 2009, and this puppet working for the Israelis, working for Zionism, isn't going to change. And he's one of our biggest enemies. They don't need to get Shin Bet and Mossad in our faces, Daryl. Alex Jones is doing it for them.
Well, you're right, and here's the interesting thing, and I'm going to go back to Muhammad on this. One of the things is that the mighty Wurlitzer has moved its operations onto the net in many ways, and of course that big blowhard over there is the Wurlitzer, and one of the things we challenged when Noel and I did a show recently was, oh, go ahead, Alex, put Daryl Bradford Smith on for a debate on the facts and see what comes out of it if you're really on board with Zionism,
not
which everybody...
Debate, not even a debate. Yeah. Have you on as a guest, not a debate. A discussion. Discuss Zionism. We don't want you going head-to-head with him because you'd blow him away. Just let you go on the radio, this month or next month, but not in 6 months or not next year, soon, to discuss Zionism. No personal attacks or anything like that. And say, okay, Alex, you didn't do... No, Alex, we want to talk about Zionism. Let's discuss all the Zionist Jews that were involved. Don't call them Lowy and Louder. Give them their full title, Zionist Jew Louder, Zionist Jew Silverstein. If they're all Vatican or Jesuit, to say, he's a Jesuit or he's a coadjutor or some nonsense like that, to just give the names. And it's the missing piece of information that would clarify the picture even more for the people out there that are listening.
It will never happen, Muhammad. It'll never happen. What's your take?
Well, I do. That's an excellent challenge which you're making there. It would be very good to go on there and actually name the names in one of your shows where you make lots of lists. and explain to people, you know, Jewish, Zionist, Israeli dual passport holder, etc., etc., and to reinforce this image, which I think Noel's making a very important point there, to reinforce in people's mind, you know, we have to face facts that there are 2,000 Jesuits who happen to be in charge of the U.S. administration. Many of them are Italian passport holders, dual nationality.
Well, you know, everyone knows, Muhammad, that I had my high school education by Jesuits, right? And I don't remember a single one of them being they were all 5 minutes away from an aluminum walker. And the ones that weren't were about as feeble a human being as you could get. Some of them were very bright. Others of them were queer as $3 bills. But by and large, they were bright teachers and very good teachers. But I don't see a single Jesuit in the administration. I don't see a single Jesuit involved in any of that other stuff. So when you point out the Zionist connection, it's clear. It's not arguable anymore. And the fact is, this is what the criminals have discovered, that this is beyond argument, so they're going to take over the argument if they can. Now, Alex Jones is never going to have Darrell Bradford Smith on as a guest, whether it be for debate or discussion or any other thing. So we've got to be more realistic here. One of the things that I want to be able to do here is to just keep putting out good quality information, even if it's to rehash. Much of what we've said tonight, we've said before, but what we're trying to do here is to garner an audience of people, because a lot of people will not go plumbing the depths of our website here, and the French Connection's website is enormous. One of the problems that people have complained about from the beginning is that, you know, they don't even know where to look on the darn site. It's just too big. It's not, you know, if you put a search in on the site, you just get so much information that you don't know where to start. So what do people do? They don't go searching around. They just wait for the latest broadcast. You know, now I have to go back and give credit where credit is due here. I got my seed thoughts from Carol Valentine. Back when I was at RBN, I got introduced to Carol Valentine's work, and that's the person who sent me on my quest. Now, of course, I met people along the way. I met Muhammad. I met a lot of people, including this knucklehead over here, Bejerkness. But all the way along the way, there was value added. There was new information. There was things to add. Basically, today, we've told the full story. Basically, today, I'm going to be rehashing. I might add new names. I might add new attempts at conspiracy with the Iranian events or whatever. What we need now is to get people on board to fight back. Now, fighting back doesn't necessarily mean in a physical sense. What we mean here is getting on board with spreading the information, because once we get to a tipping point where they can't stop the flow, then we've won, but we're not anywhere near that. We're not close to that. I told you, Muhammad, in a conversation, I had a guy over here visiting the area from Britain, and when I talked to him about these things, you know, he looked at me with a fluoride brain, and I said to myself, God, this guy is either on medication or just so far out of it. Now, he's been subjected to this information all his life. He had no clue of any of it. And this guy seems as mainstream as you're going to get. Now, of course, not everybody even goes on the net to find information. And if you're in the mainstream, you don't know any of this. How do we go from where we are into the mainstream? This is the battleground. This is the area we have to fight for. And I frankly don't know how to get it to go there with my limited resources. I can't put up billboards. I can't get on the television set. Well, after they had me on after 7-7, they're not inviting me back for some reason. So my point is that we're at a real inflection point here, because time is running out. You know, these people are earmarking certain dates for certain activities, and I'm certain that these are going to be very draconian periods in our history. Let's figure out a way of getting this message into that mainstream, Muhammad. How are we going to do it?
Well, I think firstly we really do need the regular listeners out there to stand up, and, you know, whether that's the intelligence services or whomever, everybody to them is expendable. If you're working for them today, Tomorrow you might be digging your own grave somewhere in the Mexican desert. They are a people who don't value good human values like loyalty. There are many people who probably act out there as a sense of duty or sense of loyalty. We have to now get people who are going to stand up, put not only cash on the table, but effort and time. We need people to actually go out there and challenge people in the streets. I was telling you, Darryl, a few days ago that I found myself on a bus in London, having struck up a conversation with a chap at the bus stop. And he was aware that, you know, all the government here were crooks, that we couldn't rely on what they said because they'd all been manipulating their expense accounts. We knew that the fact that they are criminals and the fact that they are liars and deceivers is now a fact in the UK. We know what we're dealing with. So the question only remains, how far does that lie go? We were discussing, I was introducing him to the whole idea of 9/11 actually being fakery and an inside job, and I was telling him the URL I am a witness to go and have a look at and start educating himself on some of the facts, and I was discussing some of the well-known facts like the Mossad in Arab clothing, and that it was in New York State police records, the evidence records, that it was all there. They went on TV. He didn't know any of these things, but we managed to catch the ear of an elderly gentleman who was on the bus. It must have been very long retired, maybe the best part of in his late 70s, maybe early 80s. The right kind of age to start a firefight in a Holocaust museum, at least.
And, and it was double parked outside, so, you know, he was...
double parked.
Oh, dear.
He had two seats on the bus instead of one.
he used the rifle as a walking stick to get up the steps.
Yeah, that's right.
The sniper scope to help read the different boards at the side of the imagery in there, and the relics, no doubt, you know. And I brought the scope just so I can read properly. Anyway, this gentleman, he said, I can't help but overhear you two talking. He said, do you really believe this? And I said, yes, and I started quoting him some facts. And by the time we got off the bus, the level of conversation had gone up a few notches on the volume, because he thought that it was absolutely absurd that the government would ever be involved in deceiving the people. And that's why I said, well, what about the expenses? I said, they're lying to government. The man in charge of taxation in the UK was engaged in tax evasion. The Chancellor was actually committing tax evasion, and at which he thrust his fingers into his ears and walked away. There is none so deaf as those who will not hear.
Well, good job, Mohammed. Good job you didn't tell him that half of Congress haven't filed any tax returns in several years. He would have definitely ran from you.
Even if we get that kind of reaction, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to convey the message. And if it does mean, like, conversations with total strangers, if it does mean, you know, being prepared to have an argument with somebody about it, hey, we've got to get over the embarrassment and the shyness and the political incorrectness of doing this. We've actually just got to start telling people, you know, you might not like to hear what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Why? Because there are people starving in the world. There are people living under misery in the world. And the minimum that we're going to be is their voice. And we need all the listeners out there to join our small trio here of voices over the airwaves into voices on the street. We need people to go out there and start informing people, because we have a moral duty to look after fellow human beings and to be a voice where there is no voice.
I just stay away from groups like We Are Change with all their top Jews over there working for. That's the thing about disorganized. I'm a lot more spontaneous. I live this 24/7. You come into my business or you meet me. I always bring up the subject, all the subject, as you just did, Mohammed, with on a bus in London with two gentlemen of different ages. One may be able to listen and one, but at least you've sown some seeds of doubt that the official. But I mean. If you're talking to someone English, more so English than British, and that we've all gone through the last 6 weeks of a new story every day about this politician, and this one was had three houses, and this guy got dung paid for, and this guy got something reimbursed, and they're all at it, and they're also, but this is in the law, and this is a law that they passed themselves, so they knew what they were doing. They're a bunch of crooks, but I think there's a lot more to be read into. That situation, Mohammed, in London, which is a control centre for Rothschild and the bankers, that they're making the politicians dance around like marionettes, like puppets, for their amusement. I think they've been just reminded, if we really get to the outside, and I know the gentleman that said he was the source of the stories for the I think it was the Daily Mail, you could correct me, Mohammed, if it was another paper, that brought out a new name or a couple of names and went after Labour first and then went after the Conservatives, and then it made the BNP look good and stuff like that. I think it was more of a game for amusement for the Zionists, just to show flexing their muscle. We talked about earlier, why did they keep...
Mohammed, are you gone?
No, I'm still here, if you can hear me.
Right, we're all still here. That it was more of, these Zionists must also, Darren, need their equivalent of television for a laugh. And they got these British politicians, when they said jump, the politicians said how high.
Well, where we are right now, guys, I have had a couple of people help me in the past and a few recently as well. This is an ongoing thing. Were I to ever get a money bomb kind of situation happen here, I would, of course, have to report the income to my French tax authorities, of course, because otherwise I'd be in some tax prison somewhere. But at the same time, I would also have to, plow it back into this message. And this is a message that needs to go far and wide, and I need help with it. I need help with the dispersal of it. I need help with the effort on the ground. I need help with printing. I need help with video. I need help with all of it, because I'm one guy here in communication with you, Noel, and you, Mohammed, on a regular basis, and people around the globe. I make calls almost all day long. Anytime you've ever called me, Mohammed, I was here on the ready, and you too, Noel. I'm always here on the ready trying to fight this fight.
You're often on the phone, Darrell. You're often on the phone. The phone is engaged. You do make a lot of calls, that I can vouch for.
All day. I'm outside cutting grass or I'm talking on the phone. That's what I do for a living, cut grass and talk on the phone.
I think the message is we need to get people, we have the, you have strong support on our forums, theinfounderground.com, and we have other forums out there. Now, a thing that came up during the week is all about the infighting and, I didn't see any, maybe one negative comment out of one of the junior members. The rest know what the story was with Hufschmidt, that I think maybe the handlers knew exactly that you were a little you were a live one, as they say, and you got set up with Hufschmidt. I even read there tonight that even ProThink can't even stand up for some of the nonsense he's coming out with at the moment. So, things are changing. However, the post was about, all the different people that won't work with you anymore, because of things that Hufschmidt said about them and wrote about them, and all the way he has this particular style of attacking people.
One of the things that's happening with the rest of this battle is, of course, I have been defamed and slandered on many occasions and still come up breathing on the other side of it. I mean, you say what you will about me. If you check the information is there. It's spot on. You may not like my presentation skills or the way I say something. Go sit on it. I don't care. The fact is we're in a more desperate place right now. The desperate place is that they have no choice choice but to bring down the walls of Jericho, if you will, or they bring down the pillars with Samson. The thing's coming down. It's crashing down. The damage it's going to do to the rank and file, to the plebiscite is just absolutely horrific, and it's going to happen in the Western world and worse in the Third World. We need to get on board now with the fight. The fight has to get moved up a notch. We've got to get over the 10,000 number on a daily basis. That has to happen. I need the listeners to start writing emails with the files involved and send them out and knock on doors and send out stuff. We have to get people involved to get this message wider afield. I'm going to call this a show at this point. We've been on over an hour, and I'm sitting here in my kitchen in order to get this 3 weeks.
Darren, I was going to add there, you know, we could obviously get another 20,000 up every day if we added in some nonsense UFO and stuff like that. There's numbers and numbers. Keep it pure play. The numbers will grow. Have confidence in you. You know, the site will grow. And people will figure it out. And then when they do figure it out, if you take me as a particular case, as I've been learning on this path in the last 6 years, I'll often come across a character, you know, for example, Bill Cooper, but there are lots of other characters that have, you know, been on the scene. Some of them are dead. Peter Kowaja is one guy that apparently disappeared and whatever. And I go back and find all of these audios, and then I make up my own interpretation, my own mind up about were these people serious at the time. You know, it could have been 10 or 15 years ago, or it could have been 4, 6 or 8 years ago. And your audios will stand the test of time. Excellent. You're probably pushing on 1,000 hours of audios. I mean, obviously, you know, other people have done lots of audios that are paid, you know, millions of dollars, big time, you know, going on XML and whatever. You're doing this on a shoestring. But we have the people behind us, Daryl, know the story, and we need these people to motivate other people, you know, open up other forums, other blogs, and, you know, do whatever they need to do. And do
link
it now.
Link into the French Connection. Put links into us so we can get better numbers on the searches.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, guys, I'm gonna call this a show here, and I want to thank you, Mohammed. Do you have a parting word for the listeners?
Well, as I say, Darren, it's time for people to join our voices as voices for the voiceless out there. We're glad that people have come through the education process, but it really is time now to stand up, start conversations, get past shyness, get past embarrassment, start engaging people.
It is, and if it doesn't happen soon, we're not going to be able to have the numbers to affect the kind of change that I know we need to make here. So, you know, if they take out the leadership in August or September, and there is no cogent message going into the mainstream like the French Connection, we're going to lose our momentum, and that can't happen. So, what we need to do is have larger and broader participation, larger and broader exposure to this information. Noel, I want to thank you very much, my friend, for helping me put this show on. Thank you so much.
No problem, Darren.
And Mohammed, thanks again for doing this. You know, you guys have been the go-to guys for me, and I'm very grateful for it.
Thanks for the opportunity, Darren.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Daryl Bradford Smith. I'm a guy who works his butt off to try to get you this information. If you do the same kind of work I'm doing, these guys will never win. They will never win. Take care of your families. Most importantly, that's the first group that needs strength. And when you've got that sorted, get on to your neighbors and your colleagues and friends and get them involved. And until the next time, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling you all, please, take care of your families and be well. Bye-bye now.